Last Sabbath, we had part one of a new sermon series entitled, What Has Changed? And today, obviously, is part two. This is simply a condensed from a broader question that is a follow-up to the Last Great Day sermon that was entitled, Total Resolve. And the broader question is, what has changed since you've heard that particular sermon, since you heard that sermon on total resolve? And as I asked last week, has anything changed in your thinking? Has anything changed in your approach to how you have been preparing for what lies ahead? And I'm talking about since that sermon. Have you planned some changes? Have you decided how you're going to address certain changes in your life so that you genuinely reflect that you have total resolve to accomplish more of this final push toward this very end time? Or, as I also asked last Sabbath, are things going to continue as they have been? Because the reality is they can't. And total resolve means we're going to do more. And that's what this sermon is about. And candidly, to get us focused, to help us to begin to realize even more importantly where we are in time, the urgency that's upon us, and to see more clearly indeed where God has placed us at this time and what's been placed before us. And to realize that between now and January and February here that there are things we have to do to prepare so that we do answer these questions and that we might not have, obviously, between now and the feast or since the feast, but from now on here until January, we are to address these things and to begin making some big changes in our life. So last Sabbath, we zeroed in on a focus that we are to have at this time, a focus that we are to grow in over the next 2 months, and that focus is to be upon those, first and foremost, is to be upon those that God is calling right now. And those who are going to be called, that are going to become brethren or are brethren in the church of God. They're being called to become brethren in the church of God. That's what it is. And so we need to realize what God is doing and the awesomeness of it all. We've had a taste of that in a very small way, but it's very exciting too, in a big way for us. At the Feast of Tabernacles this year, with all the new people, some who have been a part of the church and some who are brand new, and that they had the opportunity of being at the Feast of Tabernacles. And we're getting ready, as time goes forward here, God is going to magnify that and make that look pretty small, I'll tell you, mighty small, as time goes on here. And so as we continue to go forward here, those things are getting ready to change, but we need to focus upon what God has called us to, and that's what He's called us to help serve those people, to be a part of sharing in their lives, to be a part of the opportunity to bring them this way of life that God has given to us, and to be a part with those who had at one time been with us, who used to walk to God's house side by side in counsel blended sweet. You know, I look forward to those individuals that are going to share with us at the end here. And there are going to be a lot of them that we're just candidly not even going to have opportunity to be with, but to know that they're there and from time to time to hear of different ones, that's going to be exciting. Because the point being is we're coming to a time when we're not going to be able to meet together like this in various areas of this country or in other countries. So it's going to be a very unique time that we're getting ready to go into. So the example that we clearly see as a close analogy to what we're now doing is contained in the story of Gideon and his army. And we're going to return to that where we left off last Sabbath. That is an incredible story. I was talking here before services. One of the first times, I guess, that sermon was focused upon specifically and entitled Gideon was back in 2003. It was also addressed in 2005, and I can't remember the name of the series now, but it was a four-part series where in the last two parts of the series we went into Hebrews and discussed many of the things in there about living by faith. But the first part was about this very section we're going through now. But the longer we go, the more we begin to see how much this does apply to us and how much we can learn from this example here. And it means far more to me, and I'm sure it does to you, as we go forward here. So let's pick it up where we left off last week, Judges chapter 6 and verse 36. And so we already addressed the point here of some of the things when God began to work with him and do some of the things there in the area where he lived and preparing him for a specific job here. And in verse 36, and Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. That's interesting. You know, it's amazing how he said this. If, you know, different things that have happened in different times to people is an awesome thing to understand. And when God begins to work with people to do a specific function, and quite candidly, I think of the process we have gone through, the process I have gone through, and being molded and fashioned and prepared for a job that's ahead. and realizing that God's been very merciful in giving us time, giving me time to prepare for that, because it hasn't been comfortable. I go back to the example of the first feast that we had up in Niagara Falls, how uncomfortable that was, because we didn't want to be presumptuous before God. And yet we didn't see anything else we could do, because we had looked, investigated various things out there, and just were not being led in a particular direction. So we had that first feast, and from that point forward, everything that we ever did has worked in the same manner. It hasn't always been comfortable. And so we address those things, and God wants us to become comfortable. Not only comfortable, He wants us to be bold in what He's called us to do. Gideon was to be bold in what God called him to do. And so God worked with him, gave him some time, gave him some examples of some things here that happened quite quickly for them, unlike for us, because it's stretched out over several years for us. But there is a confidence and a boldness and a strength that comes with time as God molds and fashions us. And so, again here, I think of some of these things. I can't help. I relate to this a whole lot more than what I used to as I go through and read the story each time. It's been in about 2-year increments here. And this is night and day compared to the last time I went through this. It truly is in what it means today. And so, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And so there are doubts. You know, if indeed you're going to do this, God, as you have said, I'm still struggling with it. That's what Gideon was saying. I'm still struggling with this. So would you do something for me? Would you make it a little clearer, not just by what you've told me, but would you do this to give me whatever? He needed some encouragement. He needed strength. And I understand that. You understand that because of the process you have gone through and what God has been doing with you as well. Because He's bringing us all to a point, just as He did in this story here, of bringing them to the hill, to run down the hill together. And that's not a simple process, because there is a total resolve that has to go along with doing that. There truly is. And that is an awesome thing to recognize, how God brings us from one point to another, but with ours, it is unique above and beyond that of what happened back here, because this is fully a matter of faith. It truly is. And we'll talk about that as we go along here. It's a matter of faith, just as much as I believe what God has said to me. And so there is a process whereby God has worked with me that's similar, I think, of some of the process that Mr. Armstrong went through. You know, God says He worked with different ones in different ways at different times in Hebrews. And indeed He does. And if you go back in the last 6,000 years and you think of the first 2,000 plus years and you think of how little was ever revealed in the beginning to mankind and the things that mankind went through, and then all of a sudden we begin to see a time where God began to work with a nation and a little bit more began to be revealed. The first 5 books of the Bible, you know, that were gathered together, compiled by Moses as a whole, and the things that were recorded there and all the history of the time that had taken place before that. And then God just continued to reveal more and more and more. And it's an awesome thing to go back in history and see what God has been doing and where we are now, finally. I couldn't help but think today how awesome it is where we are. How exciting it had to be for God 2,000 years ago when His own Son, you know, preparing for that and the excitement that was in the world, at least with God, and what He was doing with the different ones, with the birth of John the Baptist and his parents and what took place there. And then a little bit later here when God sent an angel to tell Joseph, you know, don't fear to take Mary to be your wife in essence. And then told Mary what was going to happen to her, what was taking place with her, and the excitement was there. And then the individuals referred to as the wise men, those individuals that God revealed to, gave them understanding of, sent an angel to different ones and made it very clear to them what was taking place, that the Messiah was coming. And then Herod and the things he did in trying to destroy Jesus Christ. Awesome things that took place back then. I think, but where we are now is far above and beyond that. It truly is. Because that was just an initial beginning, in a sense, of revealing something that was going to take place later on. Because He didn't come to be Messiah then. He didn't come to be the King then. And I think we're there now. And 6,000 years to be blessed to be in this position in this time is such an incredible thing, brethren. It just becomes more and more exciting. And that's why I think about what's getting ready to happen in the last 3.5 years. It's going to be a horrifying thing that takes place on this earth, but it's going to be awesomely exciting to God's people, because we'll see what God is doing. We'll understand it. and we'll understand more fully, more deeply than ever before, that in God's plan, death is nothing with God. It truly is. It's nothing with God. And God has a plan where everyone's going to be resurrected again, but not in this sick, distorted world we live in. And I think about what we're getting ready to, what we have part ourselves in preparing for. And it's about that last 100 years. It's not even the full 1,000 years. The 1,000 years we're getting ready to go into is a preparation for, in a very powerful way, that last 100 years. Because that's when the vast majority, the billions, are going to be resurrected. And the world they're going to live into, that we've been preparing for 1,000 years, we can't even begin to grasp. There's so much that's happening right now. There's so much that God's getting ready to do. It's like a flood going through the mind. It truly is. And I hope you're experiencing that more and more. And so again, I think of how God worked with Mr. Armstrong. He didn't send angels. He didn't come down. Jesus Christ didn't come up to him and deal with him personally. It was by the Holy Spirit. It was by conviction in the mind and God communicating to the mind. And he lived by faith in a very unique way. And we don't have history of some of those who lived through other eras of time. Thyatira, that was the longest era of time that lasted for over 1,000 years. We don't know what happened to some of the individuals during those times. Undoubtedly, some of the same things. A matter of faith, a matter of conviction by the things they read as God revealed to them the truth. And I think of Mr. Armstrong and how it started out. It started with the Sabbath. You know, he was challenged by his wife, and he went to the library, and one thing led to another, as it has in this last 10, 12 years. One thing God has led to another to sharpen us, to help us to become stronger. It's awesome what God gives to us. And so I think of the process we go through, and it's by faith. It's by a conviction of that which is in your mind that you can't tell anyone else. And when you see the Sabbath, when you see the holy days, when you read the U.S. and B.C. in prophecy, you know and you understand a particular throne that still exists to this day that the world is ignorant of as a whole. They don't understand, but you know it. God just puts it in your mind. And then you make choices of whether or not you're going to live by it. And if you make the right choices and you desire it, you want what God is showing to you, and you latch onto it, He'll continue to work with you if He's starting to draw you and call you. But if we reject it at some point, then He rejects us. He will not work with us. He's not going to force it upon us. No. And there are thousands upon thousands and thousands of examples like that that have taken place over the years. Truly, very powerfully so. But those that God continues to work with, that respond to Him, have awesome opportunities, but it's all a matter of faith. It's a matter of what's in your mind. It's a matter of what's in your being. It's a conviction and choices then that we make all the way to the very end of our lives. And so, I think of the boldness, thinking about that this morning, thinking Mr. Armstrong was always strong and bold in what he did. You know, and I thought, thinking to myself, you know, I know he had to grow in that, to say the things he did, to work with the church in the way that he did. That didn't happen overnight in a period of time he went through in the 30s and on. And there was that which God molded and fashioned into him. And then I recognize a process, and I can only look at my own life, of how God has worked with me in certain things and giving things. And I realize a process where God makes us stronger and bolder and more confident. And especially at this in time because of what lies ahead, even yet. And recognizing where we have to be. I think of the interviews. Brother, and I know you share in those things. Because you're there and because you've been there through the process, that witness is in your mind as well. It's in your life as well. And we're all in this together in that respect and how God works with us. And it's an awesome thing. And so you have that testimony because you have seen it and you know where it comes from. It's an awesome thing to understand. Just like I was talking to the individual up in Idaho this morning. First time I had an opportunity to talk to him, and he's probably listening in right now, and making the comment about how that the things he's been reading, and I think he was referring to the last book, God's Final Witness, 2008, God's Final Witness, and talking about how that, I'm paraphrasing some of this, but talking about the first time that it was just like the first time he read the U.S. and B.C. in prophecy, and he said, same author. How was it? Same author, different pen, or in other words, different writer, but the same author. Because it's that message that stirs you up by the power of God's Spirit. That used to make me uncomfortable when someone would make the comment about, well, you know, I haven't been stirred up like this since I read, you know, whatever, or in the very beginning, or you know, it's the same sort of thing as when I heard Mr. Armstrong say, you know, whatever. And it used to make me really uncomfortable. And then I came to a point where I had to become more convicted of understanding where God is working, how He's doing it, and realizing, yes, that's right, because God is the author. God is the one who gives it. It comes from God's Spirit. That's why there's that which rings true in the mind, and it rings true in the mind because God's Spirit works with an individual to hear that which He gives. That's an awesome thing. It truly is. But there must be confidence in those things. It's just a matter of fact. It's a matter of the way it is. And so again, God deals with us by faith. We are unique. And the farther we go along, the more we live by faith. That's why if we understand what God has done in 6,000 years, to realize there is that similarity even in myself, and I will be bold enough to make that analogy with Mr. Armstrong, because it's a reality. Some people, you know, I understand where some people would take some, oh yeah, listen to what he's saying, you know. It doesn't matter what people say. A reality, the truth is the truth, brethren. And so I think of a particular process there where God worked with us similarly and yet not the same. Because we have different jobs, we have different functions, we have different things to be prepared for and what we're doing. And so yet today things are very, very different. So I think of the feast on the last great day, it was made very clear to me that we're more like Gideon's army than we've ever understood before. We truly are far more like Gideon's army. It became clear that we were to be called out on a spiritual plane, as that army was called out on a physical plane, in essence, to gather together quickly so we can begin that run down into the camp of the enemy in order to do our part to help save Israel. Because that's what God has called us to do. We are very much a part of what God is doing to help save Israel. And I'm talking about the Israel of God. That's why our focus must be upon what God is doing. It's about the church. The church is about to escalate and become very great on the earth. Millions out of this country, millions all over the earth, when you talk about where the nations of Israel are scattered today. And some people sometimes send me emails and ask, well, what about this country in this part of the world, or this country in this part of the world, because you don't talk about them. God has a plan to draw all and to work with all, but not in the very beginning. There's still a process going on whereby God is working with peoples in various nations, yes, first and foremost, because there's that plan still being worked out, just like this nation. It is the final blessings that God gave and promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what He gave to Manasseh. And so those prophecies are still being worked out to where the greatest nation the world has ever known is about to become nothing before the world. Nothing. Revealing to mankind, very powerfully so, that with all the blessings of God and what He has given to us, look what we have done. Look what we have done as a people. Look what mankind is like. Does he truly look to God and turn to God and desire God in his life? Obey God when he learns the truth? Hardly. Mr. Armstrong is a witness of that. What we shared with Mr. Armstrong, those of you who shared with Mr. Armstrong during those years of Philadelphia, is very powerful witness of that. But we have great opportunity, great blessings. Because everything that God is doing now and what we're sharing in is what God is getting ready to do to save Israel, spiritual Israel, to bring about the church all over the world. And there will be nothing left that is not the church of God. Everything else is going to come to an end. That's incredible to understand. And so before we go farther into this sermon, it needs to be clarified that not all are being asked to run down the hill. Not everyone's being asked to run down the hill, because there are some out there who say, oh, I knew it. No. You're going to be asking for everybody's money. Said you wouldn't do it. Said you didn't want to do it. But now you're asking for it. No, I'm not. Everything is a matter of your own conviction. And quite candidly, all of you who are new, who are listening out there, you're not being asked to run down the hill. Just to be real candid with you. If you join in and run in behind, that's your business between you and your God. But you're not being asked to do what others are being asked to do who are part of the 144,000. Those of you who know who you are, and sometimes you may wonder, I'm not sure that I am. That's not bad to think that way, to realize that regardless of how God works with me, if I have an opportunity to live into a new age, a new world, so be it. I'm thankful and I'm greatly blessed. But a lot of you have been around for some time, and some of you have been called during Laodicea as well, and baptized for a while. That's your calling, to be a part of 144,000. Others of you that have been around for some time, that have been baptized for some time, you're still being asked to come along and run down the hill, but not in the same way. Those who are part of 144,000 are going to be more deeply involved, are going to be more a part of this than anyone else, because that's what God has called you to. That's what God has prepared you for. And you're going to respond just like you've always responded to everything else. See, I already know that. And you know that. It's just that now this is where we are. And so how do we go about that? And that's what we're going to be talking about and discussing. Again, to some it may be uncomfortable. To me, it's not. Not in any fashion or form. And then when we get to the bottom of the hill, everybody joins in. You know when that is? Do you know when we get to the bottom of the hill and we begin to fight? It's when the seventh seal is opened. That's when all the rest begin to enter in. We're going to get to that as we go through the story here. But we need to understand where we are. And we need to understand some of the things taking place. Now, for us, on a spiritual plane, it's over a different period of time. It's over a longer period of time. But we're going to have increments here where we're preparing and what we're doing and actually running down the hill. So in January, February, when we start doing that, we do it all the way up until the time the seventh seal is open. Incredible. Judges chapter 6, verse 36. And Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. I know what God's called me to do. And I believe that you know what God has called you to do. Those of you especially who have been around for some time. Especially those of you who are part of the 144,000. The last part of it. The part that's about to be sealed. That when you start running, isn't that an amazing thing to consider? That when God asks you to start running, is it possible that you will have been sealed already? I believe so. We'll see. But I believe God's revealing that and showing that. Incredible. Those who run down the hill together, especially to be a part of the 144,000, to already be sealed, what does that mean? Things are going to happen fast, brother, and they truly are. And so Gideon said unto God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I'll put a fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew is on the fleece only and is dry upon the ground beside it, then will I know that you have saved Israel by my hand, as you have said. Now, God already said it. We're human beings. There's still those things sometimes that pull at us. There's still those things sometimes that It's like you want to pinch yourself. Is this really happening? It's kind of surreal. It's hard to grasp. You think of all of history. We look at ourselves and think, no, just like he did. He looked at himself and he said, I'm the least of all of Manasseh. I'm the least of my family's house. So to him, it was just, even though God said it, it just didn't really seem like it was possible. You go through things like that? Have you ever gone through things like that in your mind? Well, if you haven't, I have, just to be real clear with you. And if the dew is on the fleece only and is dry upon the ground beside it, then I'll know that you'll save Israel by my hand, as you have said. So he wanted evidence above and beyond what God had said. And so there are those things that happen in our mind as God leads us, and that's why I continue to go back and remind people that if you see the things you do and you grasp the things you do about a scattering, Matthew 24, Matthew 25, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Ezekiel 5, and on we go. Revelation, you know, the seals. And we see those things and you think, wow, that's so awesome, so incredible what God has given to us. To understand the stones of the temple, to understand what happened to us when others out there by the thousands don't see and they don't grasp what's happened to them. Can't acknowledge what's happened to them. And we understand how we are able to see what we see. Well, only because God has given it to us. Incredible. And it was so, for he rose up early in the morning and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, the bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, "Let not your anger be hot against me, and I'll speak but this once more. Let me prove, I pray you, but this once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry upon the fleece, and upon the ground let there be dew." Now, I understand that deeply, and I believe you do in a deeper way than you did a couple of years ago. So there's still, even after the first time, it's like, okay, but if this is flip-flop now and it's the exact opposite, yeah, that'll be enough. And it still wasn't enough. As we go through the story here, that still wasn't enough, but God continued to give him encouragement and give him help to do what he needed to do. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Chapter 7, verse 1. Then Zerubbabel, who was Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh, in the valley. So they were down in a valley, and here's this hill beside it, and so there's this area that they were encamped, as armies oftentimes were prone to do anyway. It's easier, obviously, to do it on a flat plain area, and that's what they were doing. And the Eternal said unto Gideon, "The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves," which means to glorify themselves, to take the credit themselves, in essence, "against me, saying, my own hand has saved me." And so we all understand a process of a long period of time of what has happened to the church. And I think of the numbers here. I think of the numbers we're getting ready to talk about here. But here's an army down below of 135,000 people. So overwhelming. And to think of their numbers. And yet there was this army down there with all the power that they had, with all the animals that were there, and the infantry that was there, and the power to do war that they knew was getting ready to come up against them. So God has made it very clear to us over a long period of time here, this is not a matter of numbers. You know, it's not a matter of safety in numbers, or that by numbers that somehow, we've learned that a long time ago. You know, and we learn to be in awe of that. We truly do. And there's a reason why God does it this way, so that no one could ever say. And truly, too, just like it says in Corinthians, God is going to do things to dumbfound, to confound that which is considers itself mighty and great and strong, you know, when they really aren't, but they don't understand. So this is not a matter of large numbers who will be a part of helping to set the stage for the great thrust forward that God will give through his two witnesses, because that's what it's all about. That's exactly what it's all about. That's exactly what the last book was all about. It's about proof. It's about evidence of things that are given to people, so that when things do begin to happen, things are going to happen very quickly. So they truly are. Very powerfully so. And God's going to accomplish it and dumbfound people how he does it and what he's done and how he's brought all this to pass with such a small group to bring it to a head. Incredible. And so again, that's the primary purpose, if you understand it, that the last book was written. It's in the interviews. Why it's stated that way over and over again. Now therefore, verse 3, "Now therefore go and proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And I think back in our history. And coincidence in one part, but a type of something at the end? Very much so. Because we're very much in these numbers like this. We truly are. It's an incredible thing to understand. I think of what happened in the church. Around 96,000. Some feel more than that at the particular time certain things happen. But again, at least that many that were baptized. And when things begin to fall apart, fly apart, a third that went by the wayside, just quit because there was no rhyme or reason. How could this happen? If this is God's church, how could such a thing happen? It just, there was no answer in so many people's minds. And for another third, they welcomed the changes. They were excited about the changes. They They were glad that all of a sudden we're more like the world, and they weren't wrong after all, and we can worship God on Sunday as well as Saturday, and we don't have to keep the holy days, and Christmas and Easter really aren't that bad. And clean and unclean meats, well, God's made those clean now somehow. Something has changed. And tithing, no, it's not required. Oh, wait a minute, a few weeks up the road, they had to be changed. I had to look into that one again. Because when you cut off all the finances, I had to take a look at this. So tithing had a second peak. Amazing. 22,000. Then I think of all that third that was scattered. 30,000, 32,000, maybe 33,000. Incredible. And didn't take very long before the group started falling asleep, and the same things began to happen again in that last third, just like the seals show us. And there remained 10,000. And I believe with all my being, there was a point in time when there was that which was scattered in different groups, that there is still a group of people out there that still hadn't totally given in, hadn't totally gone by the wayside, hadn't totally turned Protestant. Some who were still desirous of holding on to and desiring to stand up and fighting some battles and fighting a fight of things that they saw were wrong. And that didn't last very long. And just kept getting whittled down more and more and more until there was only one group and one group of people that God was working with. Incredible what we've experienced. So there remained 10,000. And the Eternal said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them for you there. You realize that's exactly what God has been doing? That's exactly what God has been doing. Even that last 10,000. God put everybody to the test and tried everyone and brought different ones through a fire and brought us all together. Every one of you have been brought through a fire. Those of you who have been around the longest, you've gone through a lot of fire, a lot of trials, a lot of testing to be brought to where you are today, a part of a molding and fashioning that God has been doing. And God said, why? He said to try them for you, because we're to be an army together. We are to be at one when we go together, when we do what we do at the end time here. And it is about preparing, very boldly so, for what's getting ready to happen when the seventh seal is opened. Sorry. And he says, I will try them for you there, so that we will have a group of people, so that we will have an army together that will do exactly what God has called it to do. That's why I mentioned earlier, I know exactly what some are going to do. I know exactly what people are going to be doing. And it shall be that of whom I say unto you, these shall go with you, the same shall go with you. God makes it clear, doesn't he? You know what? In time, we begin to learn very clearly so. Just what God has always said. Just what Jesus Christ says in John 10. Those that hear my voice, follow me. And those that don't, won't. And so when they hear and they agree, you know who God gives. It's God's doing. God makes it very clear. And those who don't waste time with them. Matter of fact, let them know very clearly they have no part with us. They don't belong with us. And people get upset by those things. Who do you think you are? You know, it's like you can't have an open door for other people who are scattered out here. No, not if you're not of the same mind. Feast of Tabernacles? No, we don't want you there. We've tried to be careful about those kinds of things because we don't need that in the body. God doesn't want that in the church. Amazing, isn't it? So God says, these shall go with you. And of whomsoever I say unto you, these shall not go with you, the same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Eternal said unto Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue as a dog laps, him shall you set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But the rest of the people bowed down with their knees to drink water. Amazing. God made a distinction here of individuals in essence who knew the conditions that were around them, who knew that there was an army, didn't know when that army might come up against them, didn't know when things might come down out around them, who were of a spirit of being watchful. They had that mindset of being watchful, of being alert. And so they didn't just put themselves down and bury their head in the water, you know, not focused, and just do what came natural. Just kind of going along with the rest. Isn't that amazing? It's those who brought the water up and still had an ability of looking around, you know, cupped it up to them and lapped it up out of their hand. Those are the ones that God said, they're going with you. And there weren't very many. 300 out of 10,000. But all the rest of the people, it says, bowed down with their knees to drink water. You know, just threw themselves right down in it. Amazing. Drank whatever was there in front of them without any concern about anything else that was around them, without any observation. I think about what God has brought us through and where we are and what people have had to go through on a spiritual plane in the same area. And the Eternal said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. And let all the other people go, every man unto his place. So God said, they will not be with you. They're not going to join in with us. They're not going to be a part. So the people took victuals, provisions of food, in other words, in their hand, and their trumpets. And he said, all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, sent them to their tent, and restrained those 300 men, or retained, I'm sorry, retained those 300 men. And the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So they were up higher, and the rest were down below, and they were preparing to do something here that was truly impossible. They knew it. And they were to be whittled down in size like that, it wasn't fun to go through. I think of what we've gone through. And I think of the numbers out there and how easy it is to look at numbers, safety and numbers. And surely in the very beginning, you know, we thought, the largest numbers, isn't that exciting? Isn't that inspiring what God is doing? And God gave opportunity, but that's not the way it turned out. Judges 7, verse 9, and it came to pass the same night. So finally the moment had come. Finally the moment had come. That the Eternal said unto him, arise, get you down into the host, for I have delivered it into your hand. And if you fear to go down, you go with Purah, your servant, down to the host. And you shall hear what they say, and afterward shall your hands be strengthened to go down into the host. So there was still that nagging in the mind, even up to the very last moment. And he says, if there's still that doubt. Basically, that's what he was being told. If there's still that uncertainty and that lack of confidence, do this. And I can't tell you how fully, but at the feast, that's what exactly happened to me on a spiritual plane. Went through 7 days, not knowing exactly. I knew some of the things we're going to be addressing on that last great day, but I didn't know it all. And I didn't know what I had to do to be prepared for it. So I knew that I was supposed to wait before it all came together, and it didn't come together until the very end. But I'll tell you, there are things that came out during the feast, and things I saw in people's lives, and letters that kept coming into us during that period of time through the internet, that God made it very clear. This is of me, and the time is now. It's an incredible thing, brethren. And that's why I said on the last great day that I said in last week's sermon that sermon was more for me, because there are things I couldn't tell you fully that truly were for me in getting me ready and doing what I have to do, and then sharing it with you and telling you. Because God has brought us to this point. It's an incredible point to come to, brethren. Verse 11. And you shall hear what they say, and afterwards shall your hands be strengthened to go down into the host. It's exactly what happened to me on a spiritual plane. I was strengthened in ways that I can't give any more than when God gives us a Sabbath in the mind. He gives it there, and it's just there. And there is that knowing. And that's what this is. Then when he went down, it says, with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand of the sea, seaside for multitude. So it gives later on the exact number of those that were there. God says 135,000. But incredible power that was there. And 300? And you know what's out there? I oftentimes think about what's out there and realize how puny we are and how easy we could be shut down. If we were to point 2 years ago or 3 years ago where we're going to be in about 3 months from now or 4 months from now, and if we were at that point 3 years ago or 5 years ago, we wouldn't be at this point today. We'd have been shut down a long time ago. See, God has a plan and a purpose in a way that He works it out. Wisely, powerfully, awesomely so. It's not that He couldn't work it out some other way. It's just that this is the most awesome and the most exciting to be part of. See, because we're talking about governments and peoples and hatreds that are very powerful out there. And I understand why God says He has to give a certain kind of protection finally at the last 3.5 years. And I hope you understand that too. And when Gideon had arrived, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread, tumbled in the host of Midian and came into a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, and the tent collapsed. And his companion answered and said, this can be nothing else except the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand has God delivered Midian and all the host. Now, what an incredible thing for something like that to take place. And for the certain words that they were able to hear. I can't imagine sneaking up that close. And if you're brave enough to do that, you might as well do the rest. But hey, you know, this is all out anyway. Isn't that what it is? This is all out. When you go up there and do this, it is all out. Total resolve. I'm talking about absolute total resolve. There is no holding back, not the slightest little bit, is there? Do you grasp that's where we are? And that's the kind of confidence and boldness that God wants us to have? Because you're throwing everything into this. You truly are. In your mind, in your spirit, and in your being. Truly are. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel. Analogies? They're powerful to me. I hope they are to you. As I said, this happened to me at the feast, brethren, on the spiritual plane. That which God made very clear, gave me the confidence and gave me the boldness of things I saw, of things I witnessed, that convicted me in a very powerful way. More so, I already believed it, but I needed that extra. Just like Gideon needed this. Gideon needed this to do what he had to do. It says, and he worshipped and returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise. The time is here. That is exactly what we're doing. That's exactly what you're being told to do. Because when God made it very clear to him, this is what you do, this is how it's to be done, this is when you do it, and now do it. And so Gideon went back and he told everyone, we're doing it. He didn't tell them before. He told them at this very point. For the Eternal has delivered into your hands the host of Midian. And I think about that. Midian, a word that means contentious, and comes from the word discord and strife. And I think of the minds of the world out there, of that attitude toward God. Even in the church that was scattered, the same spirit that's in the world, an attitude of being contentious against God, of strife and discord of mind and spirit against God. And God is going to destroy that. God is bringing that to an end. And all that is what we're going against. And that's what we're a part of. Because God's using us and working through us to bring those things to an end. I don't know if we grasp and realize the power of those things that God has placed before us. And especially what leads into the last 3.5 years. And we're all a part of that. And that's why I mentioned, I hope you have that focus. I hope you have that understanding in your mind about the last book. Because that's exactly what it's preparing for. It's preparing to do that job, to do exactly what was brought out in the book. That really doesn't have its greatest power until the last 3.5 years. Because that's when it becomes a reality. That's when the power begins to be used in a very powerful way. Amazing. And we all share in it. And we all run down the hill together. And then the battle begins. It's when the battle and the fighting really begins. Where we're a part, a very big part, of changing this world. And God has given us that opportunity. Judges chapter 7, verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into 3 companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, you know, not to be seen until it was time. There was a certain time when they were to break them to where certain things would be seen and to protect that. And it goes on to say then, verse 17, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And how long have we been hearing that? What we hear, that's what we speak. And there's coming a time, because God has brought us to a unity of mind and a oneness of mind in a very powerful way over several years now, through everything we've gone through and everything we've been taught, so that indeed everything we say now, everything we share with others, is right down the line, wham, wham, wham. And we're going to be able to give encouragement and hope to people. I think of how incredible it's going to be when you can share with someone and say, a year has passed and we only have 2.5 more years to go. Hold on. Because what's coming, you can't even begin to grasp and imagine. And then tell them, 2 years has passed. We only have 1.5 years to go. And as time goes on, you say it with greater boldness and greater confidence than ever before. And you continue to pass it along, that hope and that encouragement to others. And that will spread. It will spread like wildfire. It truly will. The closer we get to the end. See, because within those nations where Israel are located, as we draw closer and closer to the end, there will be that confidence and boldness that the people will hold on and they're going to turn. They're going to turn more and more to God's way of life. It's an awesome thing. Minds being opened up by the millions. We can't grasp that yet, but we're going to experience it. You get to experience it. I get to experience it. So he says, again, verse 17 here, and he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. And so there are things we will hear as time goes along, and new things, additional things that God will give to prepare us along the way here, step by step by step. Just like in January and February, I don't know fully what it's all about yet. Just as much as that last great day sermon. I don't know fully yet what it all entails, but I know that God's going to give it to us as we need it, when the time comes, and we'll be told more. There are certain things we're being told now, but especially at that time, we'll be told more, we'll be given more, until we actually begin fighting, when things actually begin to take place. So again, this is primarily for those who are part of the 144,000, and there aren't many of you that are around. There aren't many of you out there. A few of you in this room today. A few of you in some different rooms today that are listening in. Some of you out there by yourself listening in. And also for those who've been with us for a few years, baptized for a few years. But for those who are new, what you're being asked to do is draw closer to God and obey God. Just obey God. Do what you're supposed to do. You know, learn what you can learn while you can learn it. Try to prepare yourself the best you can. But they're not all the ones going to be running down the hill with us. You know. And as things go along here, there are going to be more individuals like that that come along. And that's what God is asking them. No more. They're not to run down the hill together. There are some of those that are in the background that are going to do some fighting later on. But right now, they're just to obey God. And isn't that what everyone should do? Obey God. Turn to the Sabbath. I get letters all the time. And it's so easy right now to just tell them, go to the Sabbath. You want to know what to do? You want to know how to prepare yourself? That's what they ask. What am I to do now? Well, it's so easy. Obey God. Turn to the Sabbath. Set the Sabbath aside. Stand up to your employer. Well, what if I lose my job? What if you do? What if you do? A lot of people have gone before you who have done the same thing. Learn to trust in God. Learn to look to God. Let God fight more of your battles for you. Learn what that's like. Start to experience that a little bit. Because there's great blessings with that when you do it God's way. Tithe. That's right. Tithe. God asks you to do that. He tells you to do that. Because if you don't do it, He says, you rob from me. You take from me. You take from what is mine. So the Sabbath and tithing are the two primary areas always, always, always that God's people are tried in. And I hope it's not a trial for anyone that's been with us for some time. Their second tithe as well. See? Because that's supposed to be sent in. And some people have had struggles keeping second tithe faithfully. You don't want to do that now. You want to share what's beyond this? You better obey God. God is not playing games. There's no time to give people time to grow and mature. You just obey God now. Obey God. Anything less than that? You know what God says in Scripture over and over again? I set before you life and death. Choose life. Choose life. And in choosing life, that means we obey God. And I think of people. I think there's some not here today that were with us a few months ago. Right here in this room. Because of money. Because they couldn't give to God what was God's. You can't afford not to give to God what is God's. That is so simple and so basic in life. Isn't that amazing? Is God first or is God not first? And that's the question. Is God first? And if God is first, then everything else will fit into place. And God will continue to work with you and mold and fashion you. And some who don't get it out there, who listen on occasion, who find fault, yeah, it's all about money, isn't it? No, it's about obedience and love God. Love to God's way of life. God gives us everything. And you morons that talk like that, you fools that talk like that, you ought to be deeply ashamed of yourselves. Because I got some out there listening today that are that kind of people, fools, spiritual idiots. Oh, that's pretty bad language. That's pretty tough language. You haven't heard anything yet. You're going to lose your lives for being so stupid. That's right. You're going to lose your life. Choose life. I've set before you life and death. It's that simple. Now, is that a tough one? It takes quite a fool, quite an idiot, to choose death. It truly does. Isn't that amazing that there are people who will choose death and they just don't get it because they're so filled with pride and haughtiness? And they don't grasp the great God of this universe has given them everything in this world. I think of this country and what we have in this country alone. I think how incredible it is that people can come across the border and send a quarter of their income back home or more. And they can live well. And they scrimp and they save and they sacrifice. I think of an individual that does some work for us on occasion at our house. Very much in the world, and talking about some illegal people that are illegal in this country that work for him. He said because he can't find people in his own community, in his own area, that will work like those people work. You've got to give honor to where honor is due. People that are willing to and understand the blessings of this country and of what this country has, and others who won't work, they don't deserve to eat then, do they? Says something like that in Scripture, doesn't it? Isn't that incredible? I think of people who come to this country and sacrifice. I remember one time a man who escaped out of Romania, who had been in the United States not too long, a few years, when he escaped out of Romania when they were still under communist rule. And we sold our first house that we had built there in Erie, Pennsylvania. We had another one built and we're moving into it and rolling over our equity and some of the things we'd done at time to time. And an individual came in. This individual from Romania. He'd only worked for a few years in the United States. You remember how many, hon? The four? Yeah. 4 years. He escaped his own life in danger. because he'd heard about a place he could come to where he could work hard. And his desire was to bring other family members who could escape. And then finally, you know, things changed and the communist rule fell apart. And finally, some were able to come on over. And he was able to help them come over. And he worked as a tool and die maker there in Erie area. And he purchased the house with cash. Because he did it in 4 years' time. Because he put in long hours. He worked hard. I've heard of stories like that over and over and over again. And yet sometimes people just don't understand what we have. You know. Isn't that amazing? The great God and what He blesses us with in life. And what we have. You know. People say, well, things are tough. I think of the age we live in. It's a spoiled age we live in right now. It's getting more spoiled. You know, and there was a time when people, if they had to, they'd hold down two or three jobs and get very little sleep at night. Not a whole lot of people know what that's like. I know what that's like. Wasn't always a minister. And the hours aren't much different sometimes. And two or three jobs. Incredible. The blessings we have. And God says, 10% is mine. 10% is mine. And 10% is yours, too, to use to come together to worship before me. A bit of a forced vacation here on you. Hope it's not too rough. Amazing. The love, the mercy of God. So often people don't understand it and don't grasp the magnitude of God's mercy and God's love. And the more we resist the blessings of God, that seems total insanity, but it's like choosing life or death. And you think, why would anyone choose death? Why would anyone just blatantly choose death? But that's what people do, not able to put it all together, not able to see and understand. But those are the choices that people make when they refuse what God places before them. And so again, a plea to some, because I would dearly love to see all who are at the Feast of Tabernacles, as I do every year, hope and pray that they'll continue to hold fast to what God has given them the opportunity to share in, so that we can continue to share in this, some for going down the hill together, and then others who are able to fight together and come through that last 3.5 years, and to see them on the other side and say, sacrifice wasn't too great, was it? It really wasn't in the scheme of things and what's before you now. The world you get to live into now, how awesome is that? How great is that? Incredible. Anyway, I hope what we do it with boldness, all of us, brethren, and confidence and strength. And so those of you who are new, again, obey God. You don't have to run down the hill together. You're not being asked to sacrifice anything. On the contrary, I'm asking you not to. I'm asking you just to obey God. Isn't that amazing? But the rest of us who have been around for a time, the rest of us who are part of a final sealing, do you know who you are? Do you feel that maybe, just maybe, that's what God has called you to? Now's the time to throw everything in your mind, in your being, in your spirit, total commitment, regardless of what God asks you to do in February, January, whatever it might be. And I'm not talking just about money, brother, and please understand me. You know, some people have talked about some of the things. Yes, you know, that's a very powerful tool for us, being as small as we are, to accomplish more. Yes, and we're going to use everything we have as a whole going into the advertising, because we're just going to keep, you know, lifting up the internet more and more, going out on the internet more and more in a greater way, till the point where we can't do it anymore, where we can't handle it anymore. Judges 7, verse 18. I might as well add a few more things here while I'm at it. We're all in different places, brethren. We're all in different situations. God works with us all in different ways. And so we have to look at our own life realistically and where we are and what God has given to us and what we're able to do with what we have. And I think of a time when there were those who made cutting, sarcastic, digging, ugly remarks, especially when things begin to break up, that making fun of individuals who paid and prayed. But that's our life, to obey God. And indeed, it involves tithes and involves prayers. And too often, people underestimate the power of prayers. And so, in your life, I want you to think about some of those things. We heard about prayer recently. From time to time, we discuss the subject. But I want us to think about some of those things in the respect of where we are in time and our need to dedicate ourselves more fully to what's going on, to what's taking place around us, to what God is doing in the church, and things we're praying about concerning people around us, the world around us, situations we have and what we can do, and don't underestimate the power. Can you imagine that if you place a petition before God and ask various things because of where we are, that this is the time for yourself and your own ability and doing various things and what you might be able to accomplish as time goes along and what you might be asked to do in January and February. And I'm not talking about anything to do with money here. I'm talking about what's going to come out of our mouth and what we're going to share with others around us. You're going to be told later on how to accomplish some of those things. You're not going to be told yet. So just have to wait. You have to wait till the end of January as a whole, because I'm going to be in Australia till about the end of January. Unless there's some sermons that come out of while I'm over there to prepare for some of this. But there are things going to be happening more on a... I'm not going to tell you anything. We just have to wait, and God will tell us more what to do. Isn't that what was said to Gideon here? And isn't that what Gideon told the rest? What I do, you do. What I tell you, this is what you do then. This is what we do together. And we're all going to do it together. Some of the same things. And a part of it's going to be nothing more in one respect than some more maturing on our part, some more molding and fashioning that God's doing to each and every one of us, preparing us for what lies ahead. There's some more training we have to go through so that when we begin to fight, when the seventh seal is open, we're going to be able to do it very well. We're going to be able to do it very well. We're going to be able to swing a sword really well. And God's going to give us great power to do so. That'll mean more to you later on. And so we have to realize that God's going to show us the things we need to do when the time comes. But again, prayer, brethren, consider it. Consider it in a greater way to pour yourself more into your prayer life and making petitions before God. And the more genuine you are before God, the more you pour yourself out before God in earnest, heartfelt prayer to God. Do you know that there are prayers over and over again? People say, well, maybe they think, well, everything's already planned out, so everything that's going to take place is going to take place. And it doesn't matter what I pray about, it's just a matter of praying God's will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, blah, 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 blah. And we're told to beat our prayers down small. Fine. Fine. Be specific with God. So be specific about various things that are taking place and what we're doing with on the Googling system, on the internet, and that every step of what we're doing, and then apply it to your life. Do you have different ones you would love to see come through all this? Do you have different ones your heart really goes out to even more so? Do you think that perhaps that whether or not some of them are able to be brought to a certain point in time, that some of those might be a result of your heartfelt prayers before God for them? Doesn't mean that God owes it to anyone for anything. And there may be some situations sometimes because of people's own choices that regardless, that God doesn't force His way upon them. But can people be taken through various things, various trials, various hardships, whatever it takes, God? Holy Father, whatever it takes to shake them up, to stir them up, to bring them down, to humble them, whatever trial it is, bring it upon them. Whatever it is, bring it upon them. Because you want to share in something in the future with them. Be more specific. Share some of those things with God. Because I'll tell you, God gives great favor to His people. Do you think about people you come in contact with from time to time? Perhaps at the beauty shop? For you women? Perhaps your neighbor next door? People at work? Are there some there that have been unique to you? Around you? In your dealings with them? Think of different ones that are out there, brother, that you come in contact with day by day. There are people I meet at different times that my heart goes out to them. And I think I hope and pray. I hope they have an opportunity. How much are your prayers involved in some of those kinds of things? Because you see, this is the time to start doing it. This is a time to start petitioning God in some of those things. So yes, we'd like to see all of our relatives, all of our brothers and sisters, our mother and father and children and blah, 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 blah. Well, pour your heart into those prayers. And again, it doesn't mean that all will respond to God. But oftentimes it does mean that God will respond to you. And because of your heartfelt petition before Him, because of your desire, because He loves you, because you have given, because you have sacrificed your whole being and your desire and your love to God. You realize that's why God, so often in times past, we see God working through families within the church. He's blessed families and things begin to spread out. God begins to work with different ones. And because that's God enjoys doing that, brethren, truly. To bless and to pass those blessings along. So you're being told at this point in time that now is a time to begin throwing yourself more into that area of life. Not just a matter of give me, give me, give me, but a matter of something you're thinking through, brethren, for them. And perhaps that somehow, somewhere up the road, that God give you a means whereby somehow something you say, something that comes through you, or some other door open up, to where you're going to have opportunity to have a conversation with them. And that God give you the right words at the right time when He begins to draw them and give them the opportunity of something you want them to have the opportunity for. So how many are out there that you have desire for? How many in your community? I'm not just talking about family either. That's a natural. That's a given. And certainly you'll be pouring your heart out more and more for different individuals out there. I have those in my family, I hope and pray. And my prayers are going to become a lot more pointed and direct and stronger with God. Petitions and various things that I look forward to God doing, because the time now is upon us to start doing that. It hasn't been in times past, but we're there now. Do you grasp what God is telling you right now? Do you grasp what God is telling you right now? He's pleading with you to make such a petition. Because He wants to bless. Because He wants to give favor. Because He wants you to share in more of what He's doing and what He's getting ready to do. Some of you already experienced a little bit of that. Some of you listening out there, you're starting to experience some things that you would have thought, I would never believe that person would have listened. And all of a sudden, some doors opened up. You heard some stories at the feast how some of that has taken place in some people's lives. Just to make it real clear, God wants to magnify that. He wants to begin pouring out more blessings. But you have to understand that you have opportunity and part in it in a very great way. So what will your petitions be before God? Make them, brethren. Make them. This is the time to start doing it. It truly is. And then maybe by late January, and then through February, certain doors can begin to open up for people. Because that's when some of this is going to begin. We're going to experience some incredible things. 10 million people, just in this country alone, are going to be called. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if different ones you have rubbed shoulders with at work, different ones you come in contact with from time to time, that you've grown to enjoy the time that you spend with them in fellowship at times, and you just have this desire inside of you. I wish they could share in this. I wish they had opportunity to live through what's coming and to live into that new world. Wouldn't that be an awesome thing? Judges 7, verse 18. I'm going to back up again. Pay and pray. Isn't that what the comment was? Pay and pray. Well, we're going to learn in a very powerful way the power of prayer more and more and more as we go forward, and things that God is going to do in people's lives. You can't even begin to imagine the things that are going to happen in that 3.5 years. And because of your petitions and your prayers before God and God's intervention, it's going to astound you, the things that God does. So some of those things can't happen until that last 3.5 years. Some things will begin early, but most of it's going to happen even during that last 3.5 years. Very powerful, brethren. But again, for others of us, I don't want people doing stupid things, as I mentioned last week, and going out and getting loans. Like I mentioned when I gave one example, do not do something stupid like that. Okay? I want people to do things wisely. God wants people to do things wisely right now. Okay? To make sure that you have prepared things that are there for you, first and foremost, as an example, for 2 to 3 months of putting some things aside, if you have the ability. And if you don't, God will take care of you. God's going to take care of you anyway. But you are being encouraged as a whole. We have been for some time now, all those of you who are listening out there, to try to have a 2 to 3 month supply of water, ability to have water, of food, so that during certain times here, that there are those things, because you have planned properly, because you have listened to God, because your heart and mind is there and you're responding to what God gives. And a lot of that is just simply for us anyway, as to whether or not we're hearing what God says. And we do what we can do while we can do it, but there's so much that we can't do. And that's why I've always tried to make it really clear that we can't do more than that. We're going to go through 3.5 years. And there are going to be some who've saved up certain things. I'll be real candid with you. What we have in our house, I don't expect to have one bit of it. I don't expect to be around to have one bit of it. That's my expectation. Now, whether I do or not, I don't know. Time will tell. But I believe it's going to be for others. Talked about it last Sabbath. Some of you are going to, we're going to end up doing some of the same sort of things as the church did in the beginning, having everything in common. You're going to be willing to move people into various parts of your home, to share together, to be together while you can. And some are going to be moved out of their homes into other places. And God will give you favor, just as He had to other people through times past in the Bible. So we have some incredible things that are going to take place in our lives and take place around us. We truly are. God will give you favor. God will give you help. God will take care of you. Others of us, if we have the ability, just like I mentioned about our house, I'm not giving up yet. I'm going to totally try to refinance the whole thing now because I couldn't get the money's getting tighter out there. And if I'd known 2.5 years ago about equity, I wish I'd known then, but I didn't even know. I had a heart attack later on. Didn't even know what my job was at that point in time. No. And I think of all that equity in there. It's not going to serve anybody any good whatsoever. No. Serve the church in a very powerful way. The more we can do as a group, those of us who are running down together, those of us who are part of the 144,000, if we have the means and the ability, don't do it right now either. Someone asked me this last week here. If I withdraw a certain amount right now, I'm going to be penalized by taxes and so forth. Let's see, when January or February come around, you're not going to be penalized. The following year, you don't have to worry about it too much, do you? So, again, we're talking about preparing for January and February. Use wisdom in the things you do. But I hope we've gotten the big picture, too. I'll just leave it as it is, brethren. Verse 18, when I blow with the trumpet, when that sound begins, I and all that are with me, then blow you the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Eternal and of Gideon. So there's going to come an opportunity in time here. We're not start yet, you know. I'm amazed. Sometimes I get emails here from some people who are brand new, and they make a comment, but a desire they have for family members or for others they know, and they say, but I know that you've said not to do things yet. And so they're waiting. They're learning. That's wise. That's good. They're hearing. How are they able to hear? By God's Spirit. And all of us as well, we need to realize that right now is a preparation time of getting ready to do what we're going to do together. And the ability to, and I hope you understand the meaning of trumpets here, the ability to speak, the ability to say certain things, the ability to do certain things in a way that others are able to hear it and receive it. Say. And for us, that's exactly what we're going to be doing. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch, and they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. You know, at a certain point in time here they are. They're coming down the hill. Not immediately. It isn't done immediately when they start running together. There's preparation here, and there's preparation in what we're doing. But it's going to happen very fast. January, February, March, it's going to go by so fast, brother, and it truly is. And then we're plunged into April. Deciding whether or not to share something else, but I think I'll wait. Verse 20, and the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow. So there comes a point in time when it's God's time. It's God's time. Everything is a matter of timing here right now. And it's just going faster and faster, but it's in God's timing. And when it's His time, He gives us the ability to do more. He gives us the ability to share in more. And that's why I mentioned the matter of prayer here, that we need to start in those prayers now. And the fruit of that, and the fruit of those things, we're going to begin reaping later on, in the first part of next year, and throughout the 3.5 years. And so it talks about here what they were to do, and the cry that they were to make, all of one mind, all of one spirit, all at the same time. It's an incredible thing to understand what God does and how He does it. It says, and their trumpets in their right hands to blow with all or all together. And they cried, the sword of the Eternal and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host ran and cried and fled. You know, so it's an incredible thing here. The power that God's going to give, the power that God's going to let us share in, the things we're going to be a part of, the things we're going to do that we can't fully grasp yet until they begin happening. But so much of it is going to have to do with people's minds being opened up and others' minds or mouths being shut, because there's that which we're going to fight against, and there's that which is going to join in and share in and be a part with us as we continue to go forward. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Eternal set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Bethsheba and to the border of Abelalah. I'll get this out. No, I won't. It's too much of a tongue twister for me today. I did it earlier, but can't let it slide out right now. Unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. It's an incredible thing to realize what God's giving us the opportunity to be a part of. And that we get to see a battle from the beginning to the end. A battle of a change of 6,000 years of man's self-rule and God putting down everything, especially in the scattered nations of Israel, everything that resists Him. And to think, to conceive in the mind, to grasp that everything at the end of that 3.5 years in the scattered nations of Israel is going to be of a mind that's looking forward to the return of Jesus Christ, to keeping the Sabbath, to being a part of the church. Incredible. The power in that and how God's going to accomplish it. But that's what God's going to do, and we get to share in that in a very powerful way. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters unto Bethmara and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters. And so again here, there's a process here of what they went through in a very physical way and brought against the Midianites. And there's that which we're going to be a part of in the sense of of that which resists God is going to be brought into harmony with God, and that which continues to resist God is just going to disappear, die. You're going to see a lot of that. And that's why God wants us to focus more and more upon what He is bringing through it all, and that it's about the church. It's about the church that God is getting ready to expand upon the earth in a very powerful way. And I think of even nations like China and Russia and some of those places, they're going to be the last. They're going to be the least to believe anything. But God brings them down to nothing at the very end, and they're going to be brought so low that by the time that other things begin to spread throughout the earth, once Jesus Christ returns, 144,000 with Him, and the nations of Israel by this time now, the scattered nations, talking about Australia, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Western Europe, this country, and all the peoples, the millions that have come out of that, that have the mind, the desire, and understand the things that are taking place, the opportunity for others then to become a part of it throughout the world that's going to spread so incredibly fast, everyone in time, in a very short time, that is able to be a part of the church of God, finally. So, brethren, we can't even begin to grasp what God has called us to and what we have opportunity to share in. So again, I go back to the beginning of the sermon and what we heard. Total resolve. Are you there? Are you there? Because you see, that's something you have to go through spiritually before God, in your mind. Either we're there or we're not. I was there at the feast. And I wasn't there before the feast. I believe, but I wasn't there fully. I wasn't at the point where Gideon had to come to a point when he was finally at the camp and he heard them talking. And then he was there. After Gideon heard what he heard, he was there. Did he believe God before that? Yes. But then there's that human part that fights, that resists, that you have to battle. And finally, when he came to that point in time, total resolve. Total resolve. When he heard that dream and heard what the other one said to him about the dream, total resolve. And each one of us then has that point where we come to total resolve. And most of us have not come to that point yet of total resolve. Please believe me. You'll come to that in the next month or two here, November, December. And the reality is you have to come to it in that length of time. Other things your prayers need to be involved in then, that you need to ask God to help you come to a point of total resolve. Because, brethren, that means everything. That means great boldness and confidence in everything you're doing and you're going forward. And I can't explain that to you any other way, because it's something God has to give to you by His Spirit in the mind. Some of you are well on your way to that point, but you're not there yet. So you have to pray about it. It's something like akin to, if you can understand, we heard pieces before 2005, we heard pieces throughout the year, beginning around Passover season, about a relationship between God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ. And we picked up on different things, and different ones of us at different times. And yet we never, no one could bring it all together until it was time. Until it was time. And it wasn't time until the feast of 2005 when God brought it all together for us. And we were all able to see then, during the feast, even more so, what God was saying and what God was giving to us. You understand what I'm saying? Something that God had to give to you in your mind at a specific moment in time. And that was the time that God did it. But He prepared you for it several months in advance. A little here, a little there. And so by the time the feast was there, we were able to go back and all those other things came together in a more powerful way for us. They truly did. And all of you experienced that in different ways, at different times, didn't you? Please understand, the same thing I'm talking about here today is the exact same type of thing on a spiritual plane of a subject matter here of total resolve and what that means to you before your God, between you and your God. Ask God to help you to have it, brethren, because you cannot run down that hill together. You cannot do what needs to be done unless you're there. nor can you be sealed until you're there. Do we grasp that we're approaching a time of total sealing, that all 144,000 very soon now will have been sealed by God? It's an awesome thing to understand. And to have that, you must have total resolve. So for now, we're to make the final preparations to run down the hill together, and that will begin in the latter part of January and early February. And we're going to go all out until the seventh seal. We're going to do everything that we can do, everything that we can muster up, everything that we can, in our prayers, in our prayer life, in our strength, in our relationship with God. Brethren, God is offering us the opportunity to draw much closer to Him right now. Isn't that an awesome thing to understand? For God to be saying and telling us we can draw much closer to Him, not a little closer. Don't you have that desire to draw much closer to God? To have a greater boldness and confidence in the way of life that God has for us? Because that's what it is. With God's Spirit in our mind and our being, it is a matter of that very thing that God has to give it to us. It's something we can only have because of God's power and God's Spirit. And so that's why your prayers must be about a desire to have total resolve, because I'm saying the same thing. We're talking about the same thing here between you and your God. So that by the time the seventh seal is open, brethren, we're able to fight mightily. Before it's ever open, over the next few months, you have an ability to draw so much closer to God, to become more at one with God, to overcome some of the battles you've been fighting with all your life. Now, how good is that? Some of the weaknesses you have are not going to continue to be weaknesses as you cry out to God for total resolve. A stronger spirit and a stronger determination than what you've ever had. That's what God's offering us. I think it'd be good to go back and listen to this sermon several times, because you can't hear it all at once. You cannot hear it all at once, brethren. We're not talking about words. We truly aren't. It's far more than that. And please understand, which I know we know, but think about it as you're listening again. The next time you go through it, this is what God is telling me. This is what God Almighty is offering me. There's a lot of power in that, brother, and there truly is. I'm moved by that because I didn't know this until this sermon. Many of the things I'm telling you right now about what God's desire is for us right now and what He's offering us right now. And I'm in awe. I'm in awe at what God's saying to us. I truly am. So God will give us more just before that seventh seal is open. He has a desire to pour out a great deal upon us over the next few months. He truly does. And all we've got to do is put up our hands, brethren, and receive it. Truly, cry out to God, Father in heaven, help me to have total resolve. Help me to receive what You're telling me You want for me. Because He wants us to be strong, brethren, in what we're getting ready to go through. He truly does. And it takes a boldness and a confidence and an absolute knowing that can only come by the power of God's Spirit in your mind. So for now, quickly get everything together so that we can run together. And we quit early. This has to be one for the books. But it's all that needs to be said, brethren. It truly does. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I am awesomely excited.